I'm Sean.
And I'm Mike, and you're listening to
Sean and Mike Take a Hike.
Welcome to another episode of Sean and Mike Take a Hike. What are you going to talk about today, Sean?
Okay, so today, this is actually a little bit of a special episode because today I thought we could talk about using a hammock when backpacking. And you and I have said before that we don't really know much about that. So we have brought on a special guest, one of our listeners, Nick, who has some experience with that, to give us some insight about what it is like backpacking and using a hammock instead of a tent. So, Nick, welcome. Go ahead and say hello. Yes.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. It's good to be here.
Yeah. Thank you for being here. And if people, the listeners have heard your name before, because we've mentioned you with the folding saw and a few other things. So again, thank you for the folding saw idea. And but yeah, I think it's going to be a good thing. I don't know why, but researching this topic a little bit, my Facebook and everything is blown up with hammock ads. So
I'm sure.
So I had some of them look pretty nice, so I think I might have to try something.
So I guess to kick off, why don't we start with Nick? Maybe you can tell Mike and I a little bit about, like, how long have you been backpacking? What's your experience? Like, what's your hiking and backpacking, like, history look like?
So I've been backpacking for like 3 years, and it's kind of funny that you mentioned the Facebook thing. That's how it happened. I had a buddy that just sent me a link for hammock gear, was having a sale, and I just, no hesitation, bought it because it seemed really cool. And that's how it started. But in that time, I've mostly done overnight trips. I'm a new dad and I work full time. It's just hard to find time to go and do more than that. But last year I was able to do the High Country Pathway up in Vanderbilt, Michigan. And that was a week-long hike, according to the webpage. But we made it quite a bit shorter and did it in 4 days and 3 nights. So that was an experience. Oh,
wow. How many miles?
Okay, so Mike
that?
And I are going to have to talk to you about that, because that's one that we haven't done. So yeah, how many miles is that?
80 total.
80? And wow, in 4 days.
You did 80 in 4 days? Okay, yeah, we're not doing that.
Oh, I mean, we could do it in the week.
The week is the standard time from what I read.
Yeah, we could do it in a week. I'm not doing it in 4 days. I don't want to hike that far.
Yeah, averaging 20 miles a day.
Man. 22 was our biggest day.
Okay.
Yeah, and Mike and I normally do like 22 over 3 days. So, like, I'm not shoving that all into 1 day. That's too much.
Yeah. Hey. Okay. Sean's a negative Nancy sometimes.
So. I'm not a negative Nancy. I'm just getting to be an old guy. I can't go that far.
Okay.
I got tiny little legs.
I feel it. I'm a small person. I got little legs. It's all about the smiles. It really doesn't matter how many miles you're doing.
It's
about the smiles, not the miles. Right. Okay. That's one that Mike's going to steal and start using.
Yep. Every time you start frowning.
When you do this sort of stuff, Nick, are you doing it solo? You got a buddy that you're doing it with? Are you doing it with your wife? What's the.
So, like, on the overnighters, it's just, you know, friends. If I can't find anyone to go, I'll put the risky Instagram post out there and see who bites. That hasn't worked out bad yet, but the potential for failure there. But my big trip that I went on, I went with a couple, and that was an experience.
Yeah, I bet.
The arguments in the woods, setting up tents and everything?
You know, the arguments over the Mio bottle, the vape, little things.
Yeah.
Okay, so then my next question is, so if I am hearing you right, you've kind of been doing the hammock thing since the start. So you didn't start in a tent and migrate to a hammock, or am I getting that wrong?
No, you're correct. I mean, when I car camp, I use a tent, but I've never backpacked and slept on the ground.
I mean, okay. Good for you.
That's, yeah.
Yeah, it's great.
So why, like, if you have tent experience, why did you decide to go with a hammock when you were getting your back? I mean, you said Facebook, but I assume like there was a decision at some point to use a hammock instead of a tent, right?
Yeah, I guess I had it in my head that a hammock would be smaller than a tent, as far as like volume in the backpack.
Yep.
Okay.
And it's kind of correct, kind of not.
Yeah, I mean, volume-wise or size-wise, I definitely agree. I generally carry my tent on the exterior. We've got some loops on our packs that kind of carry our tents on the exterior. I don't know if that's the best choice, but that's kind of most people you see them with their sleep pads attached there. But I've been dangling my tent. But yeah, you're not wrong. If it's going inside your pack, I think that is the smaller option for sure. And do you have an ultralight, or is it a? I mean, they're fairly lightweight considering it's all just fabric.
They are pretty lightweight, but when you look at them in comparison to like some of your modern ultralight tents, you would have to have a very specific hammock setup to be lighter than a tent.
Okay. So tell me, like, treat me like I'm ignorant on the whole topic, but tell me, so like presumably it is not just like just a hammock that you're using, right? Like, or like what gear, if somebody wanted to get into backpacking and wanted to get into using a hammock for an overnight or a backpacking trip or whatever, like what is all the stuff that you have and use specifically related to the hammock? Like, do you have, I don't know what they're called, but like you see those pads that go in the bottom of a hammock?
A
Do you have
sleep
one of
pad.
those? Do you have like a sleep pad? Yeah, I mean essentially, right?
Yeah.
But I think there aren't there specific ones for a hammock? Like, do you use one of those, or what does your like gear setup look like?
So it's just like the hammock body itself, and that's just a big piece of fabric with a bug net, and you can get ones without it, but it's Michigan. I would never. And there's a on most hammocks that you would sleep in have a ridge line on them, whether it's attached or a detachable one is a personal preference, but there's like a cord that goes across it that just kind of keeps tension on the whole thing. When you see people that have like hammock in their backyard and stuff, those don't have a ridge line on them because they're not meant to sleep in long term wise, I guess. I mean, if you want to nap in them, whatever, but and then so that's you're going to be your hammock, and then you have some sort of suspension that connects the hammock to the trees. The two major ones you see are like a daisy chain. So it's like nylon with loops in it, and you would use a carabiner and move the carabiner up or down the chain, whether you need it to be higher or lower. Or there's like just a standard cinch buckle style that you see a lot. And then you have your tarp, and your tent stakes for your tarp, and that's pretty much the basic thing. And then, you know, you're talking about the pads. When I first started hammocking, I used a pad inside of the hammock, and it was terrible. It slid all over the place. I woke up a bunch of times without it. It was like thousands. So they make hammocks that have a double fabric layer that you could slide a pad in. And that's how I would do that for sure. But I use an under quilt. So my sleeping bag is like in two separate pieces. I've got like the quilt style that I just use as like a blanket and my feet kind of tuck into it. And then it's got like a rectangle mini blanket that hangs from shock cord underneath my hammock to keep me warm on the backside. And then also, mosquitoes can absolutely bite you through nylon and even, you know, lighter fabrics. So you need something, otherwise they will eat you up.
I was wondering about that too, if you're like directly on the bottom of the hammock, but okay. Because some of the ones like that I've seen advertised have an inflatable sleep pad built into them. So it's like you said, it's the two layers of fabric per se, but it's got like an insulated sleep pad built into the bottom of it that I've been seeing advertised and everything. So that was kind of intriguing too, seeing
Yeah,
those.
that is. You do see people sleep in them without a pad or an underquilt because they're comfortable without either of those things.
Right.
But I wouldn't do it if it was like below 70 degrees at night, because even the slightest little breeze underneath there, if your skin's just against it, you will get cold.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I didn't even think about any of that stuff. I mean, it's cold being on the ground, especially if the ground is cold. But if you've got all that cold air moving above you and below you, yeah.
I have a dumb question. I don't understand what the tarp is for.
Rain for the rain. Rain fly.
Oh, for a rain fly. Okay, gotcha. That makes sense.
You put that over your, what'd you call it? The spine, not spine, the
ridgeline?
Ridgeline, there you go. You put that over your ridgeline and stake it down into the ground, so you're basically turning the tarp into a tent, kind of.
Yeah, and like there's different configurations you can do with the tarp. So if you bring those awful trekking poles, you can use them as like a support to make, they call it front porch mode. And like that's kind of cool. You know, if you were having like a social camping experience, you could sit away from the rain underneath your little front porch with your friends or whatever.
Yeah.
And then like you can pull them really tight to the ground if the weather is going to be bad, just to help with the wind.
Gotcha.
And the tarps, they come, well, most of them, most people use these, but it's like a snake skin. So you just pull it and it sucks the tarp up inside of it, and you can just roll it up and it keeps it real tidy. So it's not just a big sheet of fabric in your bag. But I always hang my tarp and then I put it away, because if it's not going to rain, I want to look at the stars while I'm sleeping. And if it does end up raining, I can deploy that tent out in 30 seconds. Or not tent, the tarp, sorry.
The tarp.
But, I mean, it'll go real fast if it just starts raining in the middle of the night.
That's really cool. Okay.
That is so cool. That would be really nice, actually. I mean, as people that have set up in the rain.
Oh, right. For sure. Yeah.
And that's the other cool thing is if you're hiking with someone that's using a hammock, and it is raining, when you stop for lunch, they can get their tarp out and put it up real quick, and you can have a nice dry lunch instead.
So these are things to consider after we just got new ultralight tents.
I know, after we just got new tents, now I'm second guessing there.
I mean, we got good deals on them, so that's fine. But I'm a lot more intrigued about this this hammock setup now.
Okay, so Mike, so ask your next question, though, the one that you asked me.
Okay, so you mentioned you have to hang it from trees. Have you ever had an experience where you haven't found trees close enough? I know you're in the woods, you're in the forest, there's trees everywhere. Sometimes you're in a designated camp spot. So have your designated camp spots ever not had trees in an ideal spot?
So I've never hiked anywhere where I had to have a designated spot. It's always just been first come, first serve.
Okay.
So it's kind of just like, keep going till you find something, but it's Michigan. There's so many trees. Like, I've never been in a situation where it was tough to find a spot. Our first night on the high country pathway, I think we did like 16 miles and the sun was going down, and we like had to find somewhere to set up. And we were just in this endless like pine forest. So it was hard to find a tree that didn't have like a bunch of crazy little branches that would have been in my way.
Right.
But other than that, I've never really had an issue. Like, and when we were doing that trip, it was more dependent on the couple that I was hiking with, because they were using a tent. So like, it was essentially they had to find a spot, and then I would just wander from there until I found my spot.
Okay. So,
and it was never very far, because there's so many trees here.
Yeah. You just keep going until they find it. And I guess for the leave no trace or the trail etiquette portion of the episode, that will do less damage than if you were dispersed camping and just setting up all willy-nilly just anywhere, because you're just hanging from a tree. You're not actually hitting the ground all that much.
Yeah, there is an LNT aspect to the hammock stuff. Some people will use just paracord to hang their hammock, and that does damage to the bark of a tree. And once that bark's broken, like, I'm not an arborist, but I know that's when the problem can start, is when the bark gets broken. So most hammock suspension is all a minimum thickness wide strap so it won't do any damage to the tree. So there is definitely a consideration.
Yeah. Yeah. The paracord, it gets a little taut and it rubs more probably than what your straps or your chain would. So,
yep.
Okay.
All right. I think the next question on everybody's mind is, for anybody that's never used a hammock before, Mike has this cheap one that he takes with us when we go like glamping sometimes. And I've tried to get into that sucker, and it's like a shit show to watch me try to get into it. So is one that is made for like actually sleeping in, are they difficult to get in and out of? Like if you I have had like emergencies in the middle of the night where I had to get up and use the restroom. I'm not sure I could do much more than literally fall out of a hammock. Is there like a graceful way to get in and out of them?
Yeah, you kind of develop this, like, lift your legs and kind of spin on your butt in the same space. And you, like, swing your legs out. When you get into them, you've got to be a little ginger because especially the lighter ones, the fabric is thin. And you can't just, like, plop down in them. So you got to be gentle with them. But, yeah, the whole getting up in the middle of the night thing, there's a dirty secret that hammockers use is they either piss in a bottle or they just unzip and lean. So, the bottle thing, you know, I guess in the winter you could use it to warm your sleeping bag up if you wanted to. I've never done that.
I guess if you were that desperate.
Right.
That goes into your winter hiking, Mike. That's what you can look forward to your winter camping trip.
So I guess I think in my own mind answered my own question, but one of my questions I guess was going to be, what do you do with your pack? Because we have vestibules for our tent, but I guess you kind of treat the tarp as your vestibule at that point.
Yeah, there's some people that will like put down like a sheet of Tyvek because it's really light and it's waterproof and you can set your gear and stuff on that. Some people hang it from the tarp, or not the tarp, but the suspension. I don't like doing that because it just puts weird weight on the hammock that I just rather not have on there.
Yeah.
I have like it's a company called Apex Giant. They make like a bunch of weird titanium gadgets. But it's just like this little weird hook with some zingit rope, and essentially I tie my backpack to a tree that I'm hanging from. So it's still right close to me. And that way, like, the raccoons and stuff can't get to it.
That's a pretty cool idea. I'm going to have to look into that.
That's probably the stuff that keeps popping up on my Facebook ads. Like, I keep getting all these weird little hook contraption things. It's probably, I think I know what you're talking about. I wouldn't have known the name of it, but it's a weird little, like, strap thing.
Well, and I guess I would assume that if you were to be one of the people that hung it from your strap or whatever, it wrapped around a tree, then with that extra weight of your pack, you're potentially doing more damage to that tree than you should be. So,
yeah, if I were to do that, like my pack I would want it to be empty, and I just keep all my stuff that I'm not using at the moment in my pack. So I wouldn't want an offset weight.
Yeah,
but I imagine long-term it could.
Do you have any funny like fail stories?
I went beach camping and I thought it would be a good idea to bring my hammock, and there was very limited trees.
Okay.
And I had to sleep like with the wind just beating the hell out of me the entire night.
It
was so bad that the tarp was touching the side of the hammock. So like it made me feel pretty claustrophobic, and I did not sleep well.
Okay, so nothing funny in the sense where you fell out or it?
No, I'm I try to be graceful.
Okay.
Okay, so here's another concern that I have, and one of the things that's kind of been holding me back from even trying a hammock too, though. But so generally, I am a stomach or maybe slightly on my side sleeper. I don't presume that works well in a hammock. Like, do you have to sleep directly on your back in a hammock, or can you at least sleep on your side?
You can definitely sleep on your side. It's it's better to sleep on your back. I'm a side sleeper at home, but I sleep on my back in the hammock. So a lot of people think that when you lay in a hammock that your body like turns into this weird banana shape, and it kind of does if you don't do anything. But if you think about it, if you're laying in a hammock and you have like that ridgeline above you, if you put your feet to one side and your head to the opposite side, you lay completely flat.
No shit.
Yeah, because it would definitely hurt your back to sleep in that weird banana position. But if you just like cock your body one way or the other, you lay flat.
Yeah, that ridgeline adds some extra support, it seems, because the cheap hammock that I have does not have that ridgeline. So it's just that weird banana shape, and you just lay there and you're like, okay, this is cool. And then after about a half hour or so, this is uncomfortable, and you get out of it. So that makes sense. So the ridgeline makes all the difference. Okay.
The ridgeline is, in my opinion, the fiddly, finicky part of panicking, because you get everything set up and you're like, okay, it looks great. And you sit down in it and you have to reach up and touch the ridgeline. And if it's tight like a guitar string, you have messed up. And to get out and you need to fix it. You'll see people, they at least try to bend it around their finger while they're sitting in the hammock. Because if you can't do that, it's too tight. And long-term use, the hammock will just fail and leave you laying on the ground in the middle of the night at some point.
Really? Okay. That's good to know.
And then to adjust that is moving it up and down that daisy chain or the cinch buckle. You would just be like tightening and loosening things and then sitting in it and trying it again to see if it's too tight or not. So people say that hammocks are fiddly and tents are simple, and they're not wrong, but it's not that bad.
Yeah, I mean, you could definitely set your tent up wrong, though, too. Like, we've all had the tents where the door doesn't want to unzip right or something along those lines,
or you try to unzip the window instead of the door. I mean, that's always a possibility.
There is that possibility. So,
I mean, I definitely don't think our tents are, like, idiot-proof to set up. Like, there's definitely some fiddling with even setting up a tent. Like, and our tents were super simple. They had two poles. There wasn't much you could quote unquote screw up about it, but you know, you had to get it the rain fly on right, you had to get it set up right, you had to make sure that the ground is clear. Like, there's fiddling around that you got to do with setting a tent up, too. So, like, that wouldn't intimidate me,
yeah. And like, just like tents, like, you have to look for widowmakers, like, you have to look up. Just because there's trees there doesn't mean they're good.
So, let's say. Let's pretend I was wanting to get a hammock. Like, are you on your first one? And if you are on your first one, what don't you like about it? Or what should somebody that's looking to buy one, like, what do you wish you had that yours doesn't have? Or, like, what are any of those tips that you can give us?
So the first one I bought was a hammock gear, and it was just, like, their Wanderlust kit or something like that. And it was just the basic, I think it's the Sarcadian hammock. I think that's what it's called. And I bought another hammock a year later, just so I had a second setup for me to convince a friend to go with me. So I built a kit and I seen the problems with it. And then I immediately just built another complete backpacking kit. So now I have a loner kit and I can convince people to go with me. But I fixed all those problems by doing that. So, like, the second hammock that I bought one that was, I got the Dutchware Chameleon, and it's like it's a modular hammock, and it has a ton of stuff that you can clip onto it and add to it, like pockets that you could put your whole backpack in, and it's got tie outs on it, so you can tie the actual hammock out. So you could have like a better view, I guess you could say, or if you didn't want the wind to blow you, it would keep you stable.
Oh, okay.
And the reason that I went with that one is because I was able to pick the fabric it was made out of. I went with a lighter fabric to get the weight down. With, like I said, with hammock stuff, it's all right around the 1.5 to 2.5 pound range. You don't see much outside of that for a full hammock setup. So changing the fabric of the new hammock was one of the ways that I could cut just a little bit of weight.
Right. Okay. That makes sense. That's really interesting. I'm a lot more intrigued about this whole thing now.
I know. I can't say as though I'm not into it. Like, I feel yeah. like it would be, I don't know. I like my tent, though. And then I just got a new tent. So.
Right. I know. So, but the one thing I remembered what I was, what I lost earlier, but another positive that I was thinking about with the hammock, too, is that when you get to camp, sometimes the ground's uneven. You got to find the high ground. You don't want to be sitting in a low point, anything like that. You don't want to be where the water's getting. You still want to be mindful of that. So, like, when you get out of the hammock, you're not just, like, in an inch of water or whatever if it does rain. But you're off the ground, so you're in control of the high side, the low side, or you try to get it as level as possible type of thing. So positive note to that, too.
Yeah, absolutely. Like my couple that I went hiking with, like I watched them struggle to find a spot. And yeah. I was just essentially standing there, like tapping my foot, waiting, and be like, okay, like I'll start looking for a tree now that you guys are good to go.
You found your spot? Okay, good. I'll go just grab two trees real quick. So
yeah.
Okay. That's yeah. Like I mean I'll look into it. I'll share it with you that, not that you need another setup or anything, but when I find it again, I'll share that, hammock that I've been bombarded with ads on.
Yeah. I'm intrigued to check out that built-in air pen.
Yeah. So it's kind of cool. It's like, from what I remember, it's like one of those, not self-inflating, but those hammocks that you like wave in the air and like they blow up and then like those cushions are, my mom had one at camp the one time you fell out of it, Sean.
Yeah. That was like a couch though. That was,
but you just kind of like wave it in the air and like it fills up like one of those.
And things. Then what, that's like your quote unquote sleep pad that it's filling up or something. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And I want to say it's got some insulation to it too, a little bit, so like it the cushion there like keeps the cold air from hitting your back. That's how it's advertised anyway. I have no experience with it, obviously, so
right.
So
I mean that, so that's all of the hammock specific questions. I do have a backup question, but Mike, do you have any more like specific hammock questions, or Nick, do you have any more hammock specific like recommendations or things to watch out for or tips?
I wouldn't get anything that doesn't the same company offers a suspension with it. You'll see hammocks that you can get and like they don't come with the daisy chain or, you know, the wide enough strap to not, you know, damage a tree. So as long as the company, I would say, is looking out for the trees, I think it would be all right.
Okay. That's a fair point. Yeah. Yeah. You want to make sure the suspension also is something that's compatible. I'm pretty sure they're probably all interchangeable, being that it's like carabiners or clips or whatever, but if it's something that's made specifically for that hammock, then it's going to be rated for it and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the only negative thing that I've came across where it makes me like think, oh, it would be nice to have a tent, changing clothes. It is so hard to change clothes laying in a hammock.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I just change clothes in nature. If people want to look, they can look.
Yeah.
I mean,
when you're somewhere a little more populated, though, I don't know. I had a family walk up on me in my underwear, like dancing on the campfire one time. It was real weird.
I mean, I had a family walk up when I'm pooping in a hole. So, I mean, these things are going to happen. Like, I was super embarrassed when that happened. I am fairly certain they did not see me because I was hunkered down pretty low. But realistically, I mean, that's what you're going to get out there. Like, people, I don't know. I feel like it's a different group of people and they understand what they're getting into when you're out there.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, don't end up on any lists, but realistically, if you're not showing your junk to underage people, then you're probably in the clear, I think, out in the woods.
I would think so. Yeah. Okay. So my unrelated to hammocks question is, and you kind of brought it up earlier, Nick, but I got to know, Do you use trekking poles?
I've carried them. I've never actually used them. I use them more to set up my tarp in a front porch fashion. I'm just, you know, I know that they're on my pack. I know I'm carrying them. But, you know, you get to the, you know, whatever elevation you're climbing, and it's just like, is it worth it to, like, get them off my pack? No. And I just go. Yep. You know, just death march up the hill.
Yeah, it'll be fine. I know. I agree. Same page. I get it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I mean, I don't want to come off as anti-trekking pole. Like, they're not good for anybody, but I mean, that's three for three.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I really, my one buddy did pull me aside and say, you know, I heard on your podcast the way you guys talk about trekking poles, and I do use trekking poles. It's like, okay, well, why? He's like, well, I don't know. I bought them because everybody uses them. I'm like, okay, but I don't use them. And like, what are you using them for? He's like, I don't know. I feel like I'm supposed to. So right. I don't know if that's like,
that's not the answer.
I don't feel like that's the answer I want. Yeah. Like, I want a, I use them for this or I use them for that. And like the one time that you and I used them, when we first got them, I mean, this is not about trekking poles, but I just didn't feel like it was worth it, the like extra work that it took to maneuver with them.
Yeah.
For me, it wasn't worth it for me on that trip. I'm not saying I'm never going to use them again, but
yeah, I've got a buddy who, him and his wife did the Grand Canyon, and his wife took trekking poles. He did not. And he said that she's a little less sure footed than he is, so she used them for stability and things of that nature. And that's a lot of elevation gain and loss. So, it worked out for her, but he said she did spend a good amount of the time like whacking him in the legs with them too. So,
right.
Or I guess more for fun at sometimes too. So
I think I get too focused on if I'm doing it right when I'm walking with them.
Yes.
100%. And then that's all I think about. And it's like, I'm out here in the woods and I'm worried about the way that I'm walking. Like, no, this is not it.
Yeah. Yes. 100%. I can relate with that.
Yep. I do recall when we were using them that one time, and like I was like, are my elbows supposed to be at 90 degrees? Like, am I supposed to be doing it this way? Like, yeah. So
I remember when I first got them out, I was like, okay, wait, which one goes when my left foot goes forward? Does my right one go forward, or does my left? Like, we're right where you were, Nick. We're like, I'm paying attention too much to which arm goes which way for what, and where does this go? And you look goofy. I mean, I'm not saying you look goofy, but like, I looked goofy trying to figure out how to use them, which is not that I necessarily care what I look like, but you are way more conscious of the way you're walking than you are just walking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. Well, so that's all I've got. Mike, are you good?
Yeah. I answered all the stuff that I, or not answered, but I asked everything that I came up with during my research and everything. And Nick, I definitely appreciate the time. I'm sorry. We've been kind of going back and forth, for a long time trying to get this coordinated. So I'm glad we were able to finally get this together, and appreciate your time and joining us.
Yeah, I definitely appreciate you, Nick. I'm really, really happy that we were finally able to have you on, and you taking the time to talk to us and share some insight about your experience with us. So we definitely do appreciate it.
I was just excited because we do live in Michigan and there's a lot of trees. So like, if I can spread that knowledge to some other backpackers, you know,
for sure.
Appreciate where we live.
Yeah. That's amazing. I mean, you got us intrigued anyway too. So I don't know that I'll run right out and spend the money, but I'll definitely do a little bit more research and see if there's something in the price range I want to spend. And maybe I'll tent at some time, some points, and hammock at others. So depending on how long and where we're going.
All right. Well, as always, if any of our listeners have any questions, comments, or concerns about anything that we have said on the podcast today, if you have your own experience with hammocks that you would like to share, if you have questions that we should have asked and didn't, you can always reach us on our email, which is seanmikehike@gmail.com. You can reach us on most of the major socials at seanmikehike, or directly on our website, seanmikehike.com. Please rate, review, and subscribe wherever you are listening to this podcast. And until next time.
Go take a hike.
All right, go take a hike and bring a hammock.
All right, thanks, everybody. We'll see you in a couple weeks.
Yep, thanks, Nick.